the KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. ABQ Connect.
Glenn Lutyens joins us from Focus on the Family. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist. He's been with the Focus counseling team for more than 30 years. So much more. He's happily married to his wife, Elizabeth, three young adult children. Glenn, what qualifies as young? Because anyone younger than us.
Right. Well, they're less than 35.
Okay.
They're older than 21. So somewhere in between there. A fair wide span.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have to tell you, not only thank you for your work previous to Focus on the Family and the decades of work at Focus, but, you know, thanks for taking some of that gray hair wisdom and obviously training that you've had and putting it to use to bless others and hopefully heal others and share the love of Christ. So much appreciated. And in your time here, appreciated. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Steve. Good to be with you.
Hey, today we wanted to cover talking about how parents can cope when children shut them out. Let's start with kind of defining that. What does it mean? What exactly are we talking about as far as being shut out by your kiddos?
It can range anywhere from, let's say, stipulations. I don't want you to talk about Jesus when we meet together, all the way up to, I don't want you to contact me and I'm not going to contact you anymore, but, and everything in between. And it's become a much more common reality. I was thinking recently as preparing for this, when I was first starting out, I would say maybe once every 3-4 months, I would get a phone call related to this. Now it's weekly. I had one yesterday. And just a real heartbreak for parents when they're going through the pain of having raised a child or several children for that matter. And now there's this wall where the adult child is saying, hey, I don't want a relationship with you anymore. The deep level of hurt that comes as a result of that.
Yeah. And there has to be, I assume, all kinds of different reasons why a relationship, a parent-child relationship would get to this point. I mean, you think of all the different types of relationships, you know, father to son, father to daughter, mother to son, mother to daughter, and then include stepchildren. And, there's just got to be a gambit of reasons why this happens. Something that, you know, primarily is caused by the actions of the parent or the child or both. Wow. There's we could spend a lot of time here, Glenn.
Right. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, Steve. I think there's a growing tendency nowadays. I mean, I think there's always been the situation where a person becomes an adult and maybe a parent has been, you know, abusive in some way. And the adult child now is just getting voice to be able to express their concerns. And so maybe they set boundaries. And in some of those situations, those boundaries, those walls have important merit. People may be guarding their heart in a constructive way. But I would say nowadays, it's almost, if my parent wasn't perfect, I have the freedom, I have the capacity to say I don't want a relationship with them. And so what I find is that many times the adult child is not willing to look at his or her issues or sins in their life. They're just kind of looking at it as, well, my parent wasn't perfect, so here's the boundary that I'm going to establish with them. And in fact, there are chat rooms where, you know, that becomes encouraged. Yes, set that boundary, set that wall. And it becomes very hurtful for parents. And, it's become an issue.
Yeah. I mean, really, in spite of the fact that they may have reason to be cautious of what kind of communication they may have with a parent based on where the relationship may have been in the past. It sounds to me like what you're saying is many times they fail really at, in spite of that, you still need to do you.
Yeah, right. No, you're absolutely right. And to be able to view it from the vantage point of, generally speaking, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing. There are some situations where that boundary wall needs to be really strong. And until there are steps taken on the part of the parent to address certain things, an adult child may need to say, no, I will not have communication with you. But generally speaking, I would say the vast majority of situations, people have moved it into an all or nothing when there could be a boundary that's reasonable and respectful, even just with regards to the amount of time that people might spend, you know, with their parents. There's some boundaries that are smaller, that are not all or nothing, that I think can be incorporated.
All right. Well, let's jump into some practical work-throughs here. How parents maybe, let's start here. How parents can approach a reaction from a child that either through action or verbally has said, I'm shutting this down. I don't want connection, or maybe not so verbal where they're not returning texts or phone calls or, whatever else, you're getting ghosted by your kiddo. Mm-hmm. And, you may ask yourself, well, okay, how do I react to that? How do I approach, this reaction? What's a first step, Glenn?
I would say the first step is listen to your heart. What are my feelings telling me? Again, not that they're going to necessarily always be accurate, because a lot of times they're not. But what is my heart telling me? You know, I love the passage. I've probably quoted it before, but Lamentations 3:16, where Jeremiah is just honest with the way it feels. In fact, he is referring to his feelings towards God. You know, he has made my teeth grind on gravel. I've forgotten what happiness is. And so first being honest with, okay, what does this feel like? Secondly, I would say, consider the question, have I contributed to this in some way? Lord, search me, know my heart. Is there something here that I need to take ownership of that maybe I've overlooked? Maybe it's been something that, well, my child didn't say anything about it, you know, through their childhood and teen years, so it must have been right. Well, maybe not. Maybe they just didn't express it. So is there something that I need to take responsibility for? And then I think in a prayerful way, to be able to approach an adult child. You know, and there can, it can vary. Sometimes it may need to be a face-to-face. Sometimes it can be a letter. I probably don't encourage texts that much, just simply because, you know, we've kind of heard of the phrase, the text bomb, where, you know, it's just kind of unloading. But it could be a letter handwritten or typed, where I want to convey what I'm feeling with a letter. You can always write it. You can read it. You can pray about it. You can rewrite it. So you have more control over it. Plus, there's not as much of the nonverbals that go with it. I mean, yeah, you have exclamation points and you can use a larger font, but in general, the words are what are communicating your thoughts and your feelings. Whereas if you meet face to face, you know, volume, tone, facial expressions, I mean, there's a whole lot more that can be interpreted that can sometimes get in the way of what you want to really communicate.
Well, and let me say this, Glenn, I'm obviously, enthused when you bring in the word of God, and you know, some come to mind, but as I think about this, I would imagine in preparation for an effort to restore the relationship like this, time well spent in the book of Proverbs seems like there's a lot there that we could garner and apply towards these kind of conversations. And I'm kind of bushwhacking you. Has anything come to mind?
Well, the one I'm not even remembering exactly its location, but a soft answer turns away wrath. Yeah. You know, just to realize, okay, it's easy for there to be strong emotions. And I would say the two things to avoid when we're communicating with an adult child, one is the temptation that there can be to beg and plead. You know, no, you need to let me into your life. And that will often, we think it engenders a greater closeness, or we're communicating what our want is, our need is. And, you know, we think, okay, well, that's going to engender a greater openness. A lot of times it does just actually the opposite. It pushes the other person further away. The other thing is to avoid the use of guilt. you know, after all I've done for you, and this is how you respond to me. That usually, and it may be true, I'm not saying it's not accurate, but it's not going to likely create a greater openness with our adult children.
Okay, so Glenn, as we're walking through this, I went ahead and you know, kind of brought AI into the conversation, because mm-hmm. I knew there was some, yeah. Let me throw these proverbs at you and see if there's some application you can maybe expand on. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 17:27 says, "A man of knowledge restrains his words." Mm-hmm. And I have another one, but let's start there. A man of knowledge restrains his words. How would you encourage someone to apply that in this situation?
Right. Yeah, it can be very easy just to say, to kind of point the finger and say, you know, just to blame the adult child. But really, to restrain is to be able to say, I want to first hear and understand your heart in this. So we can ask questions. Can you tell me? I generally encourage people to stay away from the word why, just because sometimes that can be perceived as an accusation. You know, if my wife were to have said to me when this happened, you know, why did you back the car into the garage door, which I did, if she were able to say, you know, can you help me better understand what was going on? So if we can try to avoid the why, I think that's helpful. But really, just being able to understand first. I think sometimes we rush toward, okay, here's what I'm feeling, here's what I'm thinking, here's what needs to happen. If we can slow down the process and hear our kids out and just be a mirror. Just reflect back the emotions that they may be voicing to us. I sometimes encourage people to use maybe a synonym as well. So if our child has said, you know, I really felt discouraged when you said this, you know, you can use the word discouraged, but also maybe use another word. So it doesn't just sound like there's an echo in the room if we're only using the words that were given to us. But I think that's a way in which that slower process of not just being at the crest of the emotion of what I'm feeling, and I'm going to word whatever comes to mind, because we're usually not filtering it very well.
Hey, Glenn, before we go to a break, I want to touch on something that you just said. You brought up mirroring. And when I I may have even mentioned this to you before in another conversation we had. I was invited, man, it was 45 years ago. I was part of peer counseling when I was in mm-hmm. high school. Okay. And one of the things we were taught was mirroring. And part of that was, you know, obviously listening mm-hmm. intently, listening much more than speaking. And yeah. then after the person is done sharing, to say to them, I'm literally to mirror, say, okay, so what I hear you saying is, because I think we've all found ourselves in conversations where we'll say something and then someone will respond. It's like, they didn't even hear me.
Right.
How important is that to maybe take some time to say, okay, here's what I hear you saying.
Right. No, I think it's absolutely crucial. And we find in the book of James, kind of the New Testament, kind of equivalent to Proverbs, where it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. So if I can have that as my kind of the governor on the relationship, that I want to first hear, I want to first understand. I will express my feelings, my thoughts. I mean, that's important to do, but I want to first hear where you're coming from, and then I'm going to be in a much more educated way, be able to give voice to what I'm feeling so you can understand me better as well.
Oh, this is some great content. And again, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Glenn Lutyens. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist who's been with focused on the family counseling team for years, decades. We can hear it in what we're getting from you, Glenn. But you know, listen, I mentioned I had a couple proverbs, and I don't want to leave that out there. Because it's pretty similar to the one I shared already, so we could probably apply what we've already talked about. But Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. There's probably a lot you can apply to that. And I think of the parts of the conversation, you always, and you know, just saying things that are less than accurate and, mm-hmm. and are only going to throw fuel on a fire. But hey, listen, we got plenty more to talk about. We're up against a break. Glenn, can you stay with us?
Sure.
All right. We're going to come back and Glenn, I'll kind of tee it up for you. I'd like to talk a little more about practical things, like what can be done to help repair the relationship. We've talked about, you know, the conversations, but maybe there's, you know, actions to be taken. Mm-hmm. And when we come back also, how can parents protect their mental health when this occurs? And what exactly that means. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more with Glenn Lutyens with Focus on the Family after this on ABQ Connect.
5790 ABQ Connect.
We are in the midst of a conversation with Glenn Lutyens. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist with Focus on the Family. Our topic today is how parents can cope when children shut them out. And Glenn, actually, before we press on, if you could give the Reader's Digest of our first segment for those who may have missed it, kind of the previously on our discussion.
Okay. Yeah, I think first is just being aware of what's going on in my heart. Kind of that openness to say, okay, what are my feelings about this? God, what's going on in me? Secondly, if there is a legitimate concern that our kids have, that we're willing to explore that. We're not pushing that aside. We're willing to hear and listen to our kids. And that we're willing to maybe communicate, to maybe confront. If it's an adult child maybe who's not having any communication with us, maybe to reach out to them in some way. That's not desperate, it's not begging or pleading, and it's not using guilt as our weapon.
All right. Well, before we went to the break, I mentioned one of the questions I'd be coming back with is what can be done to help repair the relationship? And I think part of that is what we talked about in the first segment, you know, getting in touch with each other, talking through things. But how about some, you know, practical steps past we've talked some, we've mm-hmm. both agreed we want to work on repairing the relationship. What are some practical steps that will, you know, help further along the healing?
Well, I think one aspect, and this would be if the adult child has, you know, they're just kind of cutting things off. I think sometimes just even the question, do you want our relationship to be different than this? Now, we might presume and say, well, that's an obvious, yeah, they do. Well, maybe they don't. Maybe they don't want a relationship. Maybe every time we see them, it reminds them of a commitment that they made to Jesus Christ when they were young. And so they really don't want a relationship. So just asking, do you desire for us to have a different relationship? And seeing what they would say. I mean, hopefully they would say, yeah, I do want it to be different. And, you know, maybe even asking them that question, if it were different, if I was coming from a better place in your mind, what would be different about me? What would I be doing differently? What would I be saying differently? Now, this sometimes can create a problem because our relationship with our children is not the first and foremost relationship of our life. Matthew chapter 10 talks about the, you know, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. It talks about certain family relationships. Now, we know that God is not against family. He's the author, the creator of family. But I think what he's saying there is if there's a relationship that supersedes our relationship with the Lord. So sometimes we have to be a little bit careful if there's something that they say, you know, well, I don't want you when we come over. We don't want to, you know, have you, you know, pray for the meal. Maybe what we do is we say, okay, we're going to still pray, but we're going to pray silently. Or maybe we make the choice to say, we're going to pray out loud, but we want to respect the fact we're not going to be overwhelming you with conversation about Jesus, but we're going to live out our faith in our lives. We can't compromise that. But I think just being able to ask them what would be helpful, what do you see? And maybe even asking the question, what do you see on your part toward us or toward myself? What difference do you think could be constructive in building that solid relationship? And let them be a little bit self-reflective. It's not that, you know, sometimes there's this sense that, you know, the parent is the one who is always wrong. The parent is the imperfect one. And it's true. Parents are imperfect. No human parent is going to be a perfect parent. But our children are not perfect either. They need the grace of Jesus Christ just as much as we do as parents. And so, you know, is there something that you might do that's different that you think could be helpful? And so being open to maybe ask that question gently. And again, I wouldn't ask that first. I would first ask, what do you think I could do to deal with this in a more constructive fashion?
All right. And, you know, there's all kinds of, I said at the top of our conversation in the first segment, Glenn, there's all kinds of different angles and things that could have been happening in a relationship. And you actually, though, touched on one in both segments, you know, a grown child who's maybe having a crisis of faith, or is, mm-hmm. you know, what some would say walked away from the faith, or is having a break from the faith, or what have you. And I could almost hear a parent listening, because I've talked to several parents who have been through this. And what I see from an outsider looking in is a parent who wants to push their children into a relationship with God, and is owning the relation, owning the need for that to happen. Yeah. And I think as parents, we're given instruction in the Word how to raise our kids. But I do think a lot of parents miss the not carrying the burden of my child's decision to have a relationship with myself or Christ. I'm thinking more, and really understanding, you know, at this point, and really their whole upbringing, my job was to share the truth with them in love, and then have the faith in the Holy Spirit. He is powerful and equipped, and the Scripture reminds us it is the Spirit who convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. How important is it for parents to, in a sense, somewhat let go in this area?
Right, right. No, I think it's very important. I mean, I play a better role of playing me than playing the role of the Holy Spirit. And so if I can realize that hopefully my attitudes, my actions, my just the way in which I'm approaching my adult child is going to be meaningful, even at those times where I don't have a lot of freedom. I was talking with someone recently about a woman that had been a neighbor of ours growing up. My mom, she would witness whenever she had the opportunity. And so the neighbor had asked her, you know, please, I don't want to hear about Jesus anymore. And my mom respected that. But she showed the love of Jesus to her. And just to be able to realize, okay, I can still have an impact, even though the words right now might not be helpful. I often also encourage parents to consider this, and maybe this steps into an action that I think could be helpful. But particularly now in the realm of adult children who are deconstructing their faith, they're maybe either saying they don't have any faith at all, or, you know, they have a faith, but it's not a biblical faith. You know, I believe in a God who, you know, there's nothing that's wrong. Everything is okay. And, you know, kind of the senile old grandfather in the sky type thing. But when there is a tendency to deconstruct, is to just really be able to hear their heart in it, and to realize, okay, here's a possibility. And that is, I might ask my child and say, hey, do you have a resource, something that you would like me to take a look at and read that I can better understand where you're coming from on this? And maybe you'd be open to me sharing a resource with you that I would like you to look at and read, even if we can't talk about it because the emotions may be pretty strong. At least we can better understand where each other's coming from. And usually it's the conservative Christian who's accused of being closed-minded. And so if we're open to exchanging a resource, and again, better understand where each other's coming from, I think that can be helpful, even just in softening maybe some of the tension in the relationship.
Yeah, and let me be the I don't know, bad guy cop. Let me reach out to the brother or sister who's listening to that right now. Okay, I'll ask them, because I probably think of this because I maybe see it in myself. If you're going to ask for a resource that they have that, you know, you'd be willing to look at when they tell you about it or give it to you, actually go through it. Not the first couple pages when you get to the point, okay, this is all malarkey.
Right.
But go through it. And even if it's malarkey, let me give you this. They are equipping you with prayer points because they are equipping you with maybe some non-biblical thoughts that are being put into their brain that you can, with specificity, pray to God to protect them against these things. So when you do ask that, follow through, and it'll be God-honoring. You'll be honoring your child, and you'll grow in it. Anything more on that, Glenn?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. It's just giving yourself that opportunity to hear and listen, and really, in some ways, to reflect back, that active listening, as opposed to, well, on page four here, here's what it says, and that contradicts what the Bible, you know, it can be real tempting to try to just discredit it, even when you talk about it, but just to be able to say, it sounds like this is the vantage point where that's coming from, and it sounds like you share that perspective as well. So by having that more gentle, graceful conversation when there may be an opportunity for that, I think goes a long way.
Yeah. Hey, with the time we have left, I did bring up another question prior, kind of teasing this segment, and that is the mental health part of this. How can parents protect their mental health when this occurs? And I could kind of guess, you know, this is, you know, from prepared interview questions, but I can kind of guess, you know, some of the mental health things that may be involved, but I want to throw it to you so you can maybe let us know what's most common and how we can protect, how parents can protect their mental health.
Well, when an adult child says, "You weren't a good parent, I don't want a relationship with you," that can consume how we see ourselves. Now, again, open to look at what I need to look at because I haven't been a perfect parent, but it can very easily lead a person into my parenting was worthless. I was a terrible parent. I love the verse, and I think it has pretty wide application. It's found in Psalm 27:10. It says, "Mother or father may forsake, but the Lord will not." And I ask myself this question, why does it say mother or father? I mean, of all the millions, billions of people in this world, why does it say mother or father? Well, I think because our parents have the most powerful impact on us. But if it's true of our parents, we can use the same principle, the same truth to relate to our children. Our adult children may forsake, but the Lord will not. And recognizing whose acceptance really is the most important, that I want, you know, scripture talks about, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So I have that. Now I want to have a good relationship with my children, but if they reject me, I need to be able to accept that. God's given them a choice, and they may make that choice. It's not really in a healthy or constructive way, but I can see myself through the lens of how the Lord sees me.
Well, lots of wisdom found in this conversation with Glenn Lutyens. Glenn, with Focus on the Family, is a licensed marriage and family therapist. And as I bring up the word wise, we went to Proverbs a few times, and I think you went to the book of James at one point. But I would encourage, you know, I'm actually looking at others with limited time. I'm not going to share them. But I'd encourage our listeners prior to these conversations to dive into scripture, maybe do a search like Glenn and I did, and find some of those scriptures that are applicable to having these kind of discussions and read through them, meditate on them. The Word of God is alive and active, and it will have an impact in how this kind of plays out. Glenn, before I let you go, I'll throw out to you an opportunity, any final thoughts, and obviously resources available to those that are looking for more.
A lot of times when those walls have been set up, they're not They don't last a lifetime. And so be open to the fact that there may be a time, a change. I would say still, you know, if a person saying, you know, I don't want to have a relationship with you, it doesn't mean that we might not send them a Christmas card, birthday card, gift. Just keeping that channel of communication possibly open and hoping for a change. People certainly can reach out to us at 1-800, the letter A, and then family, 1-800-A-FAMILY, and ask to speak with a counselor or a pastoral counselor. We'd be happy to do that. It's an initial consultation. We'll try to direct them maybe towards some resources that'll be helpful. They need to speak with a counselor moving forward. We can direct them towards some counselors that might be in their area. 1-800, the letter A, and family. Or they can reach out to our website, FocusOnTheFamily.com. There's a lot of resources there that people can make use of.
Okay. And FocusOnTheFamily.com, Glenn, correct me if I'm wrong, would /help get them maybe more quickly to where they need to be?
They can do that. Because I kind of know it from the inside out.
Yeah.
I don't know it as well from the outside. They can do that. I think the help gets them to the counseling page.
Very good.
And there's information that can get through from that.
All right. Glenn, always a blessing. And hey, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and are looking forward to celebrating Christmas and the new year. But don't be a stranger. We'd welcome you back anytime.
It's good to be with you again, Steve.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.